You are listening to a Shine Light podcast production. Everyone has a Jeff Buckley story. And now your host, Jeff Haley.
Oh, hey.
I've caught you on an auspicious day.
I know. 11. Yeah, our 11th anniversary. Wild, huh? Thank you. You know, I was talking to Todd Wolfson this morning, and he had never heard that Twang Twang Shockaboom podcast. Is it still up?
Yeah, it's on SoundCloud.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's called It's No Secret.
It's No Secret. Yeah, because it's on It's No Secret. Yeah. But I do have to say, because I was telling Todd, that one ranks among one of my favorites, like those Prince ones about making like 1999 and shit like that. And like that one about the Clash, like Stay Free. Like y'all's was like so, the way you did that, it was just awesome. Because you felt like you were part of that movement. And the cool thing was that I knew about it and I came and like saw you guys at like West Mall, and then you played later that day at home. Like I came from Houston, like see it go down. And so I got like when I was standing in Hole in the Wall, when I was standing at that show, I was like, this is a whole scene. Like you're in the audience of one of those shows. You're like, this is everybody here is going to go somewhere after this together. And I'm going to go back to Houston. But I thought it was so awesome.
We played at a party at Rice one time. And it was pretty crazy because we spent the night in the dorms. Like it was like the kind of the what you imagine like college band goes to another college to play a college party, like what it would be like. David's such a master.
I spent those dorms a lot. Well, one of my best friends, the other dude that was in Mr. Rocket Baby and stuff, he lived there and went to school there.
Who's that?
Richard Weiss.
Okay.
I know how that sounded. It sounded so Motley Crue of me to say that. Oh, yeah. I stay there all the time, dude.
Why not? We're old gentlemen now.
Yeah. So Richard Weiss is part of my Jeff Buckley story.
Oh, good.
He got married on – I just had to look this up this morning. But he got married on April 29th. 1995. And I believe that Jeff Buckley played at either Liberty Lunch or at Electric Lounge that night.
It would have to be Liberty Lunch because he played November 20 something at Electric Lounge of 94.
We're like those guys. It's so sad that we're the age that we are. We're like these nerds. So on April 29th, so I could not attend the show that night because it was Richard Weiss's wedding and I was in it. But Jeff Buckley did an in-store at Tower Records that day. So I remember a bunch of dudes that you just knew, you know, like all the music guys were there. But I can't remember anybody distinctly, except for some reason I have a distinct memory of, you know, Chad Sauls. He was in that band Seed.
I remember the name of the band Seed, but I don't know Chad.
Well, he was there. I remember that. But so I went to that in-store, and the things that really stood out to me was an extremely sweaty Jeff Buckley came up. He was real, real white, very sweaty. And he was smoking a cigarette like in the entryway there of Tower Records, if you remember that. So there was him by himself smoking, and like 7 feet away was like 25 dudes just staring at him.
No chicks, just dudes.
I honestly don't. You know what? I know my ex-wife was with, I know she came with me that day. So there was at least one that I know was there. But everyone was staring at him smoke. He was real sweaty. He did not look like he felt very well.
Right.
And, when he went inside to do the sound check, I remember when he would check the microphone, he would just turn to the guy next to him that was doing like whatever like little Tascam board they had for the in-stores at Tower Records. And instead of like saying up or down, he would just shoot the guy the bird. He didn't say anything. He would just go check, check, and then like shoot the guy the bird and then go like check, check again. So that it was real weird. But then what I thought was going to be really bad because of just kind of how he, I know whenever I've looked like that, showing up to have to play somewhere, it's not usually not very good. But it was transcendent. Like he was like the angel voice guy, you know what I mean? And he like disappeared immediately into his music. Like in a way, it's funny because this is odd to say it like this, but it's true. It's the only guy I can really compare it to. Do you know how like David, like when he plays and he tilts his head back and he just goes away? Or he goes, not goes away, he goes inside of whatever it is he's doing, right?
Right.
He disappears into the moment. That's what Jeff Buckley did for however long the in-store was, like 20 minutes or something. He died in 97, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I remember being at a party at Will Sexton's house, and that was kind of like the news traveling through the party. Not that he died, but that he had gone missing.
Mm. Wow, I forgot about that detail, that it wasn't known right away what happened.
Yeah, it was like a week later, because the oddest thing was there's like an odd name dropping situation, but I don't mean it like that, but it is weird. I went on a writing trip in my to Los Angeles, and my manager was married to Jane Wheedlin at the time from the Go-Go's. And I was writing with Jane and Charlotte from the Go-Go's. And I was with them when I found out that he died.
Were they aware of him?
It was like a week or something. What?
Were they aware of him?
Yeah, but I don't think they were that into him.
I just saw a picture recently of him with Paul McCartney. And
oh, that's weird.
There's a great picture of Kathy Valentine and Paul McCartney too, right? I think I might be projecting my thoughts, but I feel like Paul McCartney had a lot of respect for Jeff Buckley in that photo. It looks like he was excited to meet him.
I think it's kind of hard not to have, even if you didn't like him, I don't know how you couldn't respect, because he was so undeniably authentic. Like he was just great. There was nothing you can't really take anything away from him except that it didn't match your tastes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of taste too. A lot of aesthetics. Like he was really going for his vision. I think that's one of the reasons why he kind of broke out in the way that he did.
That's true. And it made him stand out. It's one of those things where like, you know, there were A&R guys at the time that saw him and they were like, boy, if I could just get him to write a song with Desmond Child, you know what I mean? Like we would straighten this whole thing out. But I don't think he would have ever broken through if he wouldn't have been left alone to be the original sort of spirit that he was.
Well put.
Like someone like, it's the same kind of thing as like, I equate that with someone like David. Like how horrible would, and I'm not saying that he and Desmond Child wouldn't write a great song. And I'm not saying that I don't absolutely fucking love Desmond Child. You know what I mean? I mean like that sort of like, hey, let's mold you into what everybody is already used to, as opposed to like experiencing this new sort of like thing that isn't just music. It's what music really should be. It's all tied into like the soul of somebody. And that's what comes out in its own unique way.
I started listening to the complete Shin A recordings. I'd only listened to the original version that came out that had like 7 songs on it. And that's right. that's just him and guitar. But the complete is amazing. Like there's so many, they could have put any of the songs on there practically.
I've heard that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, no, there was an A&R man who decided, I think, which songs went on the cassette.
Yeah, I'm sure about that. You know, that's another thing. Sorry, I have 2 Jeff Buckley stories. One of them was in the 90s, my band Mr. Rocket Baby played at Steamboat. And when the Shine A first came out, Andy Langer was still a scrappy dude on the street. You know what I mean? Going to like 5 different shows a night and stuff. So there was a Sunday night and my band was going to play a set at Steamboat. I was there a few hours early and Langer was there and he was like, hey, you want to come over with me and see Tim Buckley's son is playing at Chicago House?
Hmm.
And I said, no, no, I'll just stay here.
Wow.
And then he came back like a couple of hours later, like he had seen a ghost. Like he was, you're never going to believe this. You're never, and he had the cassette.
That's so funny. You're my 3rd interview and you're the 2nd person to say ghost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Langer was tremendously affected by that guy. And I remember there was just like, this guy's going to be huge. This guy's going to be huge, you know, kind of thing.
I had two little Jeff Buckley stories. And the first one was that I got to open up for him at Electric Lounge with Adam Bork, Earth, Pig, and Fire. And Sila, who says hello to you, by the way. Sila was singing and Chris Earls was playing bongos. Wow. And I talked to Jeff a little bit. And he felt like he's a very shy person who's probably just like, you know, like so artistic that he almost had trouble talking to people.
Right.
And then Matt Johnson left the band and Chris Searles was a massive Jeff Buckley fan. And I knew that Chris wanted to take that seat in the band and I knew Chris could do it too. I saw Jeff on the streets in New York after I moved to New York. I saw him by Tower Records and I crossed the street as he was crossing the other way. And in my mind, I'm like, do I talk to him? And I didn't talk to him. But it was that same thing, like, oh, like a ghost just walked by me.
It's weird because I wonder if when people say that he's shy, because obviously, I mean, when I tell you that there was a bunch of people standing like 7 feet across from him, just staring at him, smoking and drinking a cup of coffee before he goes in to do his in-store, nobody was talking to him. And I wonder if, I know that by that time, he was Jeff Buckley. You know what I mean? And I wonder, like, for a person that seems so sensitive as he was, to have that much energy all of a sudden just coming at you must have been really, really, really intense.
Hmm. And the record company was pushing him so hard.
So hard. And you think about it, like, you get to a point where, like, all of a sudden you wake up one day and, like, you're getting these, you know, you're getting a call from your guy, like, oh, Paul McCartney wants to meet you. And just stuff like, yeah, and then just all of a sudden, like, people are like, oh, you've changed my life. Because he wasn't just a guy with, like, a pop song or something. He was like there was a whole thing. Like, when you bought into the Jeff Buckley thing, you didn't just like a song. You all of a sudden were in this world when you listened to his music. At least it was for me, and I feel like the people that were around me, other musicians and artists as well, were kind of swept up in this thing.
Do you remember there was a movie called Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruz, the Cruises?
Yep.
And there's a line in the movie where she says, do you know Jeff Buckley? He will change your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because there's no one that's like, oh, this song's good. I guess there's Hallelujah has that thing to it, but that's because it has its own little thing to it. But as far as like Jeff Buckley as an artist, it seems like when you like him, you kind of got bought into the experience. Like, I don't ever remember not listening to Grace. Like, I just remember listening to Grace, like, at some points, like twice a day, every day. Mm-hmm. And not just like, oh, I'm going to listen to this song. It was just like, I'm going to put this on and go through this guy's trip with him again. It's so much that honestly, I don't listen to him anymore at all. Like, yes. I actually went to listen to him this morning when I was walking Rosie. By the way, I tested negative today, which is great. Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodbye, Corona.
It really takes 8 days. It takes 8 days. So when I was listening to him today, I was just like, wow, this is so good. And it took me back to what, you know, now there's a whole different component that goes along with it. You know, like, I was married and I lived in this certain house. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so there's a whole, like, life, part of my life that comes back to me when I listen to that album. But still listening to it, it's in its entirety, it's just so, and it's not just him. It's like, you know, what the other guys added to that music and whatever happened, it's like everything lined up to make that record.
This concludes the first half of our interview with the one and only El Rey de Podcast, Johnny Gowdy. Be sure and come back for part two as we discuss Buckley's voice, Telecasters, drummer Matt Johnson, and how Buckley influenced at least half our friends. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
You've been listening to Shine Light Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please hit the subscribe button and tell your friends.